This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello, and welcome to another EW's Binge Recap of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14, adapted from our new Quick Drag Twitter Spaces, airing Friday nights at 10:05 p.m. Eastern. I'm Joey Nolfi, EW's Drag Race reporter, and I am still trying to pick myself up off the floor with a new mustache intact after the stunt our guest today, Miss Lady Camden, pulled off on the runway when she totally faked a massive fall, only to reveal that it was a planned stunt from which she emerged with a Freddie Mercury wig and a really bushy tuft of facial hair. It was just lovely. Today, the British Queen joins me to talk about the inspiration for the moment, what happened to the acting challenge's planned kiss between her and her in-workroom crush, Angeria, and so much more. Enjoy.
Hello, Joey. Hi.
Hello, Lady Camden. How are you feeling after such an incredible episode?
Oh my God. Over the moon. I'm literally just on cloud nine right now. I just have never been so happy in my life. I'm so happy.
And you have accomplished so many things. So that is a big statement if this is the happiest that you are feeling in your life. And I really appreciate that you are joining me now. I know you're doing so as you are in witness protection, because if I remember correctly, you revealed very bravely in our very first interview for EW.com that Queen Elizabeth has put out an international bounty on you, correct? Like, is that still in effect?
She has. But she could start off. You know, I'm famous now. She can kiss my butt. It's fine. I'm actually in a general manager's office at a club, about to go watch the episode on the West Coast. This is the drag glamorous life right here. I'm in a manager's office in front of, you know, their office papers and all that. This is the real drag life.
Yeah, the queen is definitely not going to find you in there. So if the bounty is still
no,
out,
she won't. No. I don't think she frequents gay bars that often.
Yeah, probably not. But she's going to lift this bounty anyway this week, because you did so well. You did everyone very proud. Aww. And we have to start with this runway moment, because everybody is just talking about this. They're all freaking out about this.
Oh my God.
I mean, Freddie Mercury excellence. I mean, madam, you felt your Tyra Banks top model acting fantasy by faking that fall on the runway, losing your wig, and then coming up for air with a new mustache on. I mean, I have to know about the preparation for this. How many times did you practice this before getting it right?
Oh my God. You know, I'm so glad you asked that. I practice it in my kitchen a lot. You know, but the thing is, you know, you sort of don't want to give it away when you're backstage. You know, you want to let the surprise happen. So I practiced it once in the workroom, and I don't know if anybody knew that I was going to do it, because not that many people saw me do it. Quite honestly, this was a runway that for some reason I was like hoping that they would, you know, cancel it or change it, because I was so scared to do this reveal. I was like, I don't know if I have the courage to do it. This might be such a stupid idea. But I remember, like, as I turned the corner to hit the runway, I had that sort of like moment that people have before they jump out of a plane, like when they're skydiving, you know, where you're like, oh no, 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 I don't want to do it, it's too much. And then I had this moment where I was like, just go for it, bitch, just do it. And I'm really glad that I did.
Yes, we are all glad that you did it as well. So I just want to clarify, so you practiced this in the workroom, did people think that you were like so you were just falling in the workroom? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think the girls were all getting ready. They were focusing on themselves. I honestly can't remember who noticed. I'm sure that like some people noticed it and were like, oh, that's a choice. You know, I don't know. I kind of like blacked out when I did it. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I don't think I've seen anyone really just fall on their face before. Mm-hmm. But there was something really freeing. When I stood up, I was like, oh, I feel like I've like, pun intended, been set free.
Oh, you know gosh. What I mean?
Where I was like, oh, great. Now that I'm fully in a moustache, I can just let them have it. I don't have to be perfect anymore. I can just have fun. And it was very liberating for sure.
You also practiced this in your kitchen. You said, did you like injure yourself practicing this at all?
No, I didn't. It did hurt. I'm not going to lie. It's also hard to clean an outfit that is white when you keep falling down. The outfit is like so stained at this point. But we're not going to talk about that. I will say when I was getting ready to do my audition for the show, you know, they ask you for your trick steps, right? And they ask you for like, just to showcase your talents and whatnot. And I really wanted to show them like some of my dance moves. And so I was doing like pirouettes and fouettes and like splits and shit in my kitchen. And like, this was really late at night. And my neighbor came upstairs and he knocked on the door and he was like, hey, could you just like keep it down? Like you're making a lot of noise. And then of course I continued filming and kept doing
it. Oh my God, that's so great. I mean, you know, bless your neighbors. I mean, we send blessings out to them. I mean, but their suffering contributed to your excellence on this show.
They did. I was trying to get some of their ceiling to fall down, but it didn't happen.
How many times would you estimate that you practiced this?
Oh God. I don't know. I think at least like five, you know. And the whole time I was like, is this dumb? Is this so stupid? I don't know. And my friend that was helping me get ready was like, I mean, you just have to commit to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not an answer. But okay.
It is. No, it is stupid in the best way possible. Like stupid in a way that doesn't mean negative. Like it is a positive stupid. And I loved it so much.
Oh, thank you.
No, you also, you capped this with a really incredible mustache under a mustache reveal in the lip sync, which it was so quick. So I don't know if like a lot of people caught it, but I loved it. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. I think you also, you really emotionally connected to this lip sync because you said that you did it for your mom. You said she also made the necklace that you wore. So what is the story behind that necklace? Because we didn't really get to go into it on the show.
Well, my mom, when I was, you know, when she was pregnant with me, well, forever, she's always been a fashion designer and she's gone through different styles. She's reinvented her fashion label so many different times. And at the time that she was pregnant with me, she was doing a lot of leather and a lot of kind of more punk stuff in Camden Town and selling her stuff on the Camden market. And, you know, so this piece of jewelry that I had was so old and I'm really nostalgic as a person. I love nostalgia in general. And so to have a piece of her with me just really made me feel like, okay, I have someone with me. I'm so scared to do this reveal. I'm scared to be here. It's so frightening being on Drag Race in general because it's a show that I've worshipped forever. And to have this moment, I remember holding it before I started lip syncing, just being like, whatever happens, like, you know, my mom is here with me. And my mom is someone that has worked her ass off her whole life and has never been rich, but has always been extremely talented. And, you know, she's someone that I feel like deserves everything, but has nothing yet somehow, you know? And so when I thought of her, I was like, I'm going to do this for her. I'm going to do it because she loves Blondie. She would literally listen to this song when I was a kid. She has great taste in music. We would listen to all this kind of stuff. And so I just was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to like give it to them. And just, I want my mom at home to be like, yeah, because she's like a, you know, she was a punk kid back in the day. And I was like, she would have lived for this moment. And of course, you guys know at this point, we don't have access to the outside world when we're filming and it can be isolating. And so I just was like, whatever happens, I just want my mom to be like so proud in this moment and just to live for it. You know?
Did you, within like the past, you know, hour or so, get a text from her at all? Do you know if she watched it?
No, because she's in London.
So she's sleeping.
She watches it on Saturdays. Yeah. She's sleeping and she watches on Saturdays and she wears my t-shirt.
That's so cute. That is very cute.
She's like, you know what? She was like, you know, we're gonna have a watch party every episode, and I was like, maybe watch the episode first just to make sure, you know, I don't do something really inappropriate, because it's very possible that I do, you know, screen it first.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was some discussion of the Folsom Fair, which we will get to in a moment, so your mother is going to have a nice Saturday surprise for that. But at the beginning, you that you have gone to, I think, just scope, sample, window shop.
Yeah, I'm a window shopper. You know what? I'm going to be honest. Like, you know, in terms of, you know, sexual stuff and all that, I'm very vanilla. I'm very like, you know, I love to look and stare, but I'm too scared to look
you know? Well, you know, Miss Angeria said that she wants to go to the fair. So are you going to take her? Because I know you guys have a little budding flirtation going on.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Angie, if you're listening, book your flight now, okay? You have a place to stay. You can stay with Auntie Camden. And Kamjiria can just hit the Folsom Street hard, you know.
Oh, Kamjiria, I love that couple name. That is so cute. Well, let's go back to, let's talk about this challenge, because, I mean, Daytona Wind, the acting for the challenge, the prep that you did for this, it was really cute, because you and Angeria were both excited because you said you got to kiss in the script. And from the moment you both entered the workroom, there was that little flirtation there. We all know very well that you also are the reason the season 14 queens had porn on the set, which Angeria said she borrowed. Yeah. But the kiss, I don't think it was in the final version. What happened to the kiss?
Well, I don't know. It might be because of COVID. I don't know. I was like so excited. And then on set, I mean, I think we just have to be safe at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this was filmed at a time where COVID was still very much among us. And so just to be safe, as much as I wanted to, believe me, I really did. I wanted to have that moment. And we'll find another time. Maybe we'll find it at Boston. You know, who knows?
I thought maybe you were both just assuming that there would have been a kiss and maybe there wasn't actually one in the script.
I don't know. It was sort of one of those things where you're like, should I? Shouldn't I? I don't know if I should make that first move. I don't know. So ultimately, we had to just be professional. But
yeah. No, I do. The acting challenge, though, it was unlike anything we have ever seen on the show before. I mean, let's just say that. But given the dialogue, did anyone while you were filming have any, like, was there any chatter amongst you of like, okay, maybe this might all just be one long fart joke?
You know what? It's so funny. When it started happening, I was like, oh, that's funny. And then it kept going and it kept going. And then I didn't realize until halfway through, you guys, it's called Daytona Wind. And I was like, oh my God, how did none of us clock this, first of all? And secondly, and then I started to think about my script. I was like, what are my lines? And then I was like, oh my God, I didn't even notice that everything that I talk about in the script is like wind themed, you know? I was like, you guys, this fully gagged us.
Oh, you knew it was coming after you saw it starting. You were like, oh my gosh, what did I say on this set?
Oh my God. I was like, they gooped us, girl. They had us.
Very much so. And I mean, we were also gooped and gagged that there were no eliminations this episode, but we did see, you know, Deja and Angeria struggling a little bit. So were you all surprised when there were no eliminations? Like, what was the group reaction to that, like, in Untucked?
A little bit, you know. I think when they called certain people to the front and they said that they were safe, and I noticed that some of those people were the people that were, like, struggling more. Mm-hmm. I was like, am I deluded? Did I just do really badly? I thought I did good. I'm so confused. And I think one thing that I've learned at this point in the competition is that, like, don't expect to know what's going on, girl. Don't try to figure it out. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen. So I was definitely surprised. But then, like, when they said that we were all tops, it was, like, a huge sigh of relief. But at the same time, when you think you're doing well, you're not really preparing yourself to lip sync, you know? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I might be okay. And when they were like, you got a lipstick, I was like, dang it, I should have warmed up.
Well, I mean, you did really well in the lip sync. I mean, again, that mustache reveal, oh my gosh. I mean, I cannot stop thinking about it. But then in Untucked, I mean, the diabetes saga continues. I mean, it has just been a narrative that went from last week to this week. So what has it been like sort of taking that ride alongside Daya on the safe train until this point? Like, how bad was it really getting to her in those moments?
You know, I think the competition gets to all of us, first of all. And I think that I felt similarly, right? And that I was frustrated being safe. But at the same time, when you're there, I was like, oh my God, I'm on Drag Race. You know, there's part of me that's like, of course I want to win, but I'm also just like gagged to be here and to be safe and to just like still have more opportunities. I think after the design challenge, I really started to want to really win, because the design challenge, the one that we just saw the week before, was the first time where I felt like I as a person was kind of emerging through what I was doing. I think in the past, I was like just trying to do a good job. I was just trying to like not be safe, but I was just trying to like, you know, be cute, be pretty, whatever. And then the design challenge was like, oh, this is like something I can infuse myself into, and like my taste and like my nostalgia and my sort of, you know, childhood sort of juvenile like imagination. Mm-hmm. And so then when I was like safe, I was like, dang it, I put my heart and soul into that. And it kind of made me go, okay, all right, you want more? Well, I'm gonna give you more then, bitch. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I was really like pumped. I was like, I'm going to win.
Yeah.
I was like determined, you know.
And it it paid off. You did so well. Again, like I said, I'm seeing like nothing but a nonstop flow of just like people freaking out over everything that you did in this episode. It was just really great. And the other moment that people are obviously talking about just now, I mean, we're very quickly, you know, right on the heels of this. There, you know, Jasmine coming out. I mean, you had a beautiful moment where you made sure she was feeling okay after coming out as trans. You asked her how she was doing. You clearly looked like you were getting emotional too. So what was that feeling like in the room when Jasmine made that announcement?
Well, I mean, I've seen people go through their journey to becoming trans in different stages. You know, we have a huge, beautiful trans community in San Francisco and in Sacramento. So I've seen people at stages where they feel fully comfortable and they've come to their own and they feel the happiest that they've ever been. But I've also seen people be like scared to admit that they might be thinking this. And it's just a scary place to be when you're so young. I mean, Jasmine is a baby and she's so talented and beautiful. And to be in this like high stakes environment, I just felt for her because I was like, girl, it's scary, right? Mm-hmm. Period. But like to do it in front of people is so scary, and not knowing what your family are going to think or say, or what your friends are going to think and say. But I was genuinely just like madly proud of Jasmine, because regardless as to what has happened in the competition, Jasmine has always been someone that is like really positive as a person, always pumped for every episode. Like she would come up to me on the side and like be like, Camden, you killed that. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have to say that. She doesn't have to be a sweet-ass person, but she always is. And so, like, I don't know, man. I was just, like, proud of her, really and truly, and I still am. And we got to hang out a bit in New York after we filmed, and I've just fallen madly in love with Jasmine. She's cool as fuck, you know what I mean? And despite what happened in the competition, what happens between her and Maddie, all that kind of stuff, you know, I know her and she's cool. You know, I just, she's good people. She's a good dude.
Yeah, she, you know, we had her on this last week and she was saying that, you know, everything is fine with her and Maddie, and, you know, obviously everything is fine with her and Cornbread. So it's like, I mean, it's just, you know, those things happen on in high pressure situations like this, but I'm glad that
and
you felt that sisterhood.
Yeah, and let's be real. That episode was fierce though, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, everyone's talking about that. And honestly, I know that they were fighting, but I could not stop watching it. I was like, it's so entertaining.
Oh my gosh. Yes. This is your moment, and Jasmine like doing the little thing with her hands. I can't stop thinking about it. I really, and her accent for this episode too. I cannot stop thinking about that either.
Like give her an Emmy.
Right.
Someone please give Jasmine.
Well, you too. I mean, honestly, you did so well in this acting challenge. I mean, I have to just say again, congratulations on your first win of the season. It is so well deserved. Is there anything else that you want to share? Anything you remember about filming this episode that you think people would want to know?
You know, my whole Freddie reveal was kind of inspired by like when I was quitting my job. Before I even got the call to go on Drag Race, I had this weird feeling of like, I need to focus on drag because your drag doesn't get better if you don't spend more time on it. And I was working like three jobs, and I remember quitting my restaurant job, and I left at night and I walked like through Sacramento, and, you know, it started raining, and, you know, I was listening to music on my phone, and Queen and I Wanna Break Free came on. And so it was this weird movie moment where I was like, maybe the universe is telling me that I'm doing the right thing right now. And it was so cheesy and so corny, but I was like, I feel like I have to like do something with this. And so that's kind of where my reveal was inspired from. I kind of wanted to
say this is like a real moment from your life. It wasn't just something just to, you know, be a showgirl in the moment.
No, not at all. It was like, it was, again, I love nostalgia. It's like a specific moment in time where I felt like, am I doing the right thing? I just quit my job. Like, this is the stupidest thing you could ever do. But like, and I don't have money, but something in my heart was like telling me, you have to just go for it, sink or swim, like do it or don't. Like, you're not going to move forward in your life if you don't take a risk. Such as that falling moment, I was like, this is such a crazy risk. I don't know whether they're going to like it or not. I might go home, but screw it. I'm just going to do it. And you know what I mean? Like, so I would just say to anyone that was inspired by that to just like use that as a confirmation that like risks sometimes really pay off.
Absolutely. And did you keep the mustache? Do you still have it?
I've gone through like three mustaches. They're so gross at this point. They're covered in spirit gum, and like the mustache that I threw off, I never got that back. I have no idea what that was.
Oh my gosh. Well, Maddie told me that Daddy Morphosis like got thrown in the trash because she couldn't fit him in her suitcase. So he's thrown away with the mustache.
I know the wings, I couldn't fit them on my suitcase. So I left them in my hotel room, and if like some poor cleaner somewhere was like, what the hell is this?
Oh gosh, we're just leaving bits of Lady Camden everywhere. And
everywhere. The mustache cane, same thing. I'm sure that the cleaner was like, what the is this? Like, that, just Yeah, drag droppings.
Oh, I love it so much. Thank you so much, Lady Kimjin, for being here. I know you have a gig coming up, so I'm going to let you go. But I cannot wait to see what you do next on this show.
Oh, thank you,
Joey. Of course, it is always so lovely speaking with you. Thank you again. And everybody, RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14 continues next Friday at 8 p.m. on VH1. We will be back here on EW's Twitter Spaces at 10:05 Eastern, 7:05 Pacific next week with another Season 14 queen for a new recap. So good night, Lady Kimjin, and good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all so much for listening. To keep the conversation going, follow Entertainment Weekly on all socials at EW on Twitter and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else, and tag me at Joey Nolfi. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate the podcast, and leave us a stunning review. See you next week. This episode of Quick Drag is produced by Sammy Junio and Lauren Klein and was edited by Lauren Klein. Full episode reports are available at EW.com.